I do hope everyone has had a blessed week and a wonderful weekend so far, and I pray that God's going to bless you in this time. I want to ask that you turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got one more lesson that is being built around this portion of Scripture that we've looked at the last couple of weeks, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse number 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Father, we thank you so much for this day again, for your blessings, and for this time. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will guide us in truth and strengthen us in your words and in your wisdom. And Lord, help us as we face life, our own, and in assistance of others. And Father, help us to love you and to honor you and to bring glory to you in the things that we say and that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. I tell you, you know, you can find a lot of passages in Scripture that can put the fear of God in you. How about that? Make you kind of weary and get you kind of scared about things that we face in life, things that we might react to in a manner in which we shouldn't, or say in a situation that we shouldn't say. But I want to tell you that this passage is dealing specifically with some things that we'll look at. But I've heard different teachings about this particular verse, and I've had people tell me that, for instance, if suicide is committed, if someone commits suicide, they have committed an unpardonable sin. And that this verse is dealing specifically with that. And it says that if you commit suicide because you're the temple of God and you destroy the temple, God will destroy you. My friends, please hear me when I say this. This is not what God is telling us through these words. There is grace upon grace and mercy upon mercy in our life from God. And of all the things that we can put upon ourselves, please don't put the burden of whether or not you commit suicide, you go to hell for eternity. This is not what God is telling us here. And I hope that I can explain this to you and show you what it is that God is specifically dealing with. Because it's scary enough without putting that extra burden on our own lives. Now, when you look at the totality of this scripture, this group of scripture, it began, Paul was talking about how people were bragging on their favorite preacher. Some were bragging on Apollos and some were bragging on Paul. And Paul says, we both, you know, we till the ground, we plant, we water, we are workers for God's kingdom, but God gives the increase. It's not who is doing the teaching or who is doing the harvesting. God is harvesting. It's not about the individual. It's about the family. And God is the one who brings the increase. And he's beginning to talk to us about teachers and how we build on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. And how if we build on that foundation with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burnt away. And I've tried to show you over the last couple of weeks how each of us build on that foundation through our life, through our words, through our actions, because we are a holy priesthood, and we are Whether you like to think of it this way or not, we are teachers to those around us about who we are in Christ, what our faith really means to us, what Christ really means to us. In fact, if you look at 1 Peter, you find these words, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are a holy priesthood. And how we live our life, how we sacrifice our will to follow God's will, what our testimony is, what our actions and our deeds are, we are teaching God to those around us. We are teaching our faith about God to those around us. If we believe in God and we believe in who He is and what He means to us, we want to congregate with those who believe those same ways. We want to be among the family of God so that we can have the joy that is shared among us, so that we can help each other in times of trouble. The world is not here to help you. Oh, it loves to celebrate and party. But when you have times of sorrow, in times of trouble, there will be people who will be around for a while, but your truest friends will be there through thick and thin, and they will tell you through thick and thin, even at the expense of your friendship, what is true and what is not. And truth is a wonderful thing to have, and a true friend will be honest with you in all things. God is honest with us in all things. And there is no greater friend than God. And what better place to stay in close relationship with our friend who is God than right here, even now, or in all of the houses of worship across our nation or this world, people celebrating the truths that are taught from God's Word about Jesus, about His Spirit, about the Father, and how we should live and who we should be. And we don't want to take out of context one little portion of Scripture and say, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. There's just no hope for you. You know, God understands people. And in fact, if you look in Mark chapter 3, Jesus Himself says, every sin shall be forgiven of men, except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there's a whole nother world of things that are happening when you talk about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because you are calling the Spirit of God unclean, unfit. You're saying things about the Spirit of God that are unforgivable in this life and in the next life. This is what Jesus says. But all other sins committed by men, they'll be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you are in danger of hellfire. And Jesus said this because He had healed, and those who should have known better said He does this through an unclean spirit. He said He's doing the work of the devil. Woe, woe, woe. Be careful. Be careful, be careful. You want to talk about why your yes should be yes and your no should be no? This would be a good example of why we should limit our words to those smaller spelling categories. Yes and no. Yes and no. Stay out of trouble. Yes. Get into trouble. No. But there is a lot that is happening here. And this is a scary verse, though. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are, which temple we are all part of, which temple I'm part of, which temple is all being built up together, a spiritual household. As Peter has told us, we're all being built up, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so we are growing and we are learning, and we're going to stomp our toe along the way. by the way. How many of you like it when you stump your toe? We could talk some stories about stump toes, couldn't we? I don't know. This younger generation, they stay inside too much. There'll be a day when we won't have stump toe stories in our churches anymore. Oh, my goodness. Well, what I want you to see is because we are being built a holy priesthood, and we are a testimony, and we are the works of God in the world, in our family, and in our communities. We need to be careful how we build on the foundation that is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our life and of our faith. And this is where Paul is talking now at the end. And he says, anyone who defiles that temple, that's the one that shall be destroyed. He's talking about teachers. He's talking about those who would come into the church or those who are within the church and change the doctrines of God, the truths of God, those who would bend God's will to their own. Rather than submitting to God and being conformed to God, they want to impose themselves upon God and upon the congregation and upon the house of worship. These are the people that God will destroy. Because these are the people that are building on foundations that they don't understand, that they don't even know how to teach, and what they do teach, they don't really understand what they're doing. Or they wouldn't teach these ways and these things. These are the wood and hay and stubble moments that teachers build on that cornerstone that is Christ. In fact, James says to us all, and this is a balance to this portion here. He says to us, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Those of us who will be teachers, my friends, we're all teachers. Those who are going into the worship places of God and building wood, hay, and stubble upon the foundation and steering people away from God, you are in danger. God will destroy you because you are bringing destruction to His temple, which Paul says is you. You are the temple of God. And so if I come in here and I'm teaching false doctrines and I'm teaching you to live the way of the world because, you know, God wants us to have fun, right? God wants us to enjoy life to its fullest, and He's given us these gifts to live in a particular way. God is love! And just go out in the world and love and be yourself and be careful. God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. And we must be careful the teachers that we put before us. We must be careful the teacher that we are before the world. This is why we have such great divides even among families. Should I support this particular sin in the lives of my family? Or should I take a stand? Should I honor God or should I expect him to understand? Even the scripture says there will come a time when it'll be mother against daughter and father against son. It's always been that way, hasn't it? But think about our world today. How the family has disintegrated. The structure of the family has disintegrated. And I, if this offends you, I don't apologize. It's because we don't have God in our families. We don't have God in our society. We have self, and we have self-imposed will, and we want to display our life for the world to see and celebrate in it. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. We walk around brazen before God and say, well, here I am. And God sees. And God hears. And don't mistake the patience of God as acceptance of sin. Because God would not have any die and go to hell, but He would give everyone a chance to repent and find forgiveness of sins. And His patience, especially in our world today, is not something we should take as God accepting sin and saying we should enjoy our life of sin. He's not saying that. In fact, to us who are Christians and believers, we should be standing up and speaking out louder. And you don't have to yell. Sometimes you can just take a stand, and it is as loud as a statement needs to be made. Just say to somebody one day, that's unacceptable in the eyes of God. And just say it like that. Don't yell at them. Just say, have you ever considered what you're doing is acceptable and is unacceptable in the eyes of God? Oh, you're judging me. I'm not judging you. We're all going to be judged. I'm just trying to help you to avoid the wrath that comes with judgment. I'm trying to help you see the path that you walk is leading away from God and into eternal damnation. People don't believe in eternal damnation much anymore either. Because God is love. He just simply is. I can't believe a God would create a hell to send people to. He didn't create a hell to send people to. He created it for Satan and his angels. But guess what? If we want to celebrate in this world with Satan and his angels, the party is going to continue in hell with Satan and his angels. If you think that's a party. If you think that that is a party. That's not going to be a party. It's going to be pain and suffering. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says it quite plainly and clearly for us to understand. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And their worm will never die. You know what weeping is? How many of you know what gnashing of teeth is a reference to? It's not so much that they're in that much pain that they're grinding. It's that they have that much hate and anger towards God that they're even there. They don't deserve it. And they're grinding their teeth in anger. Still in defiance of who God is and what God has expected. Still unable to claim that He is King. Unable to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in our life now will bring destruction to our life then. Teachers, we have to be wary of the teachers we have in life. I want you to be wary of what you teach in this world about your faith and your walk with Christ. Because we are to offer acceptable sacrifice to God through Jesus and the work He calls us into, our faith and our deeds and our words. But listen to what is said about false teachers. Listen to what is said in 1 Timothy. He says, Paul is talking. And he's speaking to our world as clearly today as any time there has ever been. He's talking about those who have strayed from the truth and they've turned aside to false teachings and fables and even given up a pure heart. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. My friends, I want to tell you, if you are in a church that teaches you that same-sex lifestyles are acceptable to God, you are under false teaching. These are teachers that are going to be destroyed because they are destroying the temples that are God's temples. People, the lives of people, they are leading to destruction. If you are under the teaching of anyone who tells you sin is acceptable, you are under the wrong teacher. I know we have same-sex marriages and lifestyles that we have just paraded around us, but sin is sin. And we are in a battle against it in all of our lives. And if you have someone in your life that's living an alternate lifestyle, love them as best as you can with the truth before them, so that you aren't a false teacher in their life. So that you are not a false teacher in their life. Because people need the truth, even if it hurts. God stings us with His truth because He loves us. Shouldn't we love our families and friends the same way? I'm not telling you to totally kick them out of your life and tell them you can't have anything. I'm telling you to love them. I'm telling you to be that example and to be that person God needs you to be so they can see the light. My friends, they may not ever turn their life around. They may not ever come to Christ. It won't be your fault. Because people have been rejecting God from the beginning of time. People have rejected Jesus. Even when He was hanging on the cross, they rejected Him. Even when He said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing," they mocked Him. And people are going to be that way in our lives today. It's going to be some of our family. I don't want to break your heart with that, but I'm telling you, I have family that will not accept Christ. They just won't. But you got to pray for them. You got to care for them. You got to love them. On the cross, Jesus didn't say to those mocking Him, "Well, I don't love you anymore. I'm striking you off. As soon as my hand's free from this cross thing, I'm taking you off the list." That's not what He said. That's not what He said. Go. When He was risen, He said to His disciples, "Go and teach and baptize. Teach the truth. Don't be false teachers. Teach the truth." But in those last days, people want what they want. And with their itching ears, they appease their souls with what makes them feel comfortable in their life. God didn't never say He wanted us to be comfortable in life. Sure, He wants us to enjoy it. I've never found in Scripture where it said God wants you to be comfortable in life. Have you found that? He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have hope. Where there is a place of nothing but despair, He wants to take that away and give you hope. Where there is sadness, He wants to take that away and give you joy. He wants to take you out of a place of defeat and put you into a place of victory. He wants to lift you out of the muck and the mire and put you onto the stone that is the foundation of life. And He wants you to see that where you were, that was where damnation was. But where you are now in Him, that is where life is. And though you face trial and tribulation in this life, on this side of eternity, you still have hope. You still have life in Him. And tomorrow is brighter and brighter every day. Because one of those tomorrows is going to be completely engulfed in His presence. And what a wonderful day. What a wonderful day that will be. False teachers, they don't understand neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And they talk with such authority about it. Do you hear these words now? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? But what about enduring teachers? We need enduring teachers among us. You're going to have false teachers. You need to have enduring teachers. You need to be able to know the difference. And Paul tells us something about enduring teachers. Speaking to Timothy, he says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. As a part of the holy priesthood that is in Christ, we all must fulfill our ministry in truth and in long-suffering and with endurance. With endurance. This is why I love being in the church and part of the family. I can come here and rest with you and celebrate with you. Find help with you. Offer these things. And we must continue to celebrate one with another God and His love for us. And build on the foundation that is Jesus Christ with gold and silver and precious stones. So that in that day when the refining fire is upon us, we are purified as God's people, and able to stand before Him then and offer pure sacrifice in all righteousness. But enduring teachers must be with us to help us. We must be enduring teachers so that we can be the example for others. You say, well, how can I be a good teacher? Then you turn to the Psalms and you listen to what this has to say. The psalmist says in 143, verse number 10, God, teach me to do your will. For you are my God and your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. God, lead me. God, teach me. Because you are my God. Why would I want your enemy as my teacher? Why would we want the enemy and his ambassadors guiding our life? We don't. But we're in danger of it every day. We're under the influence of it every day. So I'm challenging you this morning to understand what it means to build on the foundation that is Jesus. All of us build on that foundation, testimony, through our works, our deeds. Because we are called to work through our salvation in Christ. We're called unto to works for Him and His glory. And that's through long-suffering and through love. You know what the gifts of the Spirit are, the fruit of the Spirit? Patience. How many of you love patience? Lord, give me patience today. Oh! God, help me to be an example for you today. God, grow me in your word and in your wisdom through your Spirit and through your words today. Help me to honor you as you have honored me. You know how much God has honored you through His Son, Jesus Christ? Do you understand how much love is poured through the cross for you? If you do, good. But do you understand how much of that same love is poured out to your neighbor who's still living in sin? Live the life that honors God by loving Him and loving your neighbor. And when your example is brought up for review, let it be one that has this kind of commentary. Oh, I could tell they love Christ. You could see it in the things they did. Did you ever see what they did to help people? Did you ever just watch? Did you pay attention? Did you hear how they talked to other folks? Didn't matter who they were. And we all have room to work on all of this, don't we? Well, good news. God has called you to work on that, and He's given you time to do it. So be strong and face it and endure for the glory of God. And be that teacher for the glory of God. You have to know Him to be a teacher, though. Understand what it is you're teaching. You have to know His Spirit. You have to have found forgiveness for sins. You have to understand what sin is, because you've seen it in your own life, not just in the lives of others. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can't be an example. Not for His glory. You can't be an example through teaching. I'm calling you today. God's calling you today. I'm just asking you to come on His behalf and find forgiveness and find hope and joy through the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, why not? He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to turn you away. He's ready and He's waiting. If you will come. And now is the time to come. Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for grace and mercy upon our lives. Lord, I pray and give thanks for Your Word that is with us, the truth that is within it, that strengthens us, alerts us to false teachings, alerts us to sin, and keeps us on Your path of righteousness. Father, I thank You that we have hope in You, that we have joy in You. And I pray, Father, we never lose that or forget that. And I too pray, if there is one here without You, Father, touch their heart. Open their heart to receive You and to find forgiveness, to become a new creation in You today. Lord, I ask it to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come?